For the love of Jesus. Hi. I feel like it's been so long since I've been here in this space making an actual episode, if you're watching me on YouTube. This is gonna be a really... Wow, I'm really just fucking this whole thing up right now with my microphone. My bad. This is gonna be a really raw episode because I want to talk about my experience watching my grandmother pass away and the lessons that I've learned from that situation. If you don't know, the last, I want to say, like, month of my life has consisted of daily hospital visits to see my grandmother, who essentially, it's been about a month now. I think it was 3 weeks of really just watching her decline. The whole process was like a 2 month thing. I'll go into like how it started and everything like that. So back in the beginning of February, she had gotten COVID, pneumonia. She was having dizzy spells and stuff like that, probably from her medication. I don't even know. But she was sick and she fell and hit her head. In doing so, because she was on blood thinners, she got a brain bleed. And that was basically the more than the COVID and the COVID pneumonia. That was what the doctors were most concerned about, naturally, because a brain bleed is not anything you really want to mess with, especially when you're a 90-year-old woman. So they took her off of her blood thinners, obviously, because of the brain bleed. And she beat the COVID. She beat the COVID pneumonia. Everything was fine. That was like the least of her fucking worries. She was in the hospital for, I want to say, like 2 weeks. And she had gotten out. And the only real thing that she needed was like a walker. So from that moment, at the time, we couldn't visit her in the hospital. A, obviously, because she had COVID. So we were like FaceTiming her. She was in quarantine. And even then I was, you know, I would FaceTime her and she'd be like, are you okay? And I'm like, Mimi, I'm not the one laying in a hospital bed. Like, you know, so that was just the type of, just to give you a little glimpse into who she was as a person. She was just always concerned about us, her family members, her grandkids, her kids, her great grandchildren, you know, like even then, I remember intuitively when I got the call that she was in the hospital, something just felt different from every other time that she had either fallen or, you know, I mean, this woman has beaten heart attacks, breast cancer at 80 years old, you know, surgeries at 80, like breast surgery at 80 years old, AFib, fucking multiple falls, you know, she's always come out of it. And anytime she's gone to the hospital, it was like, all right, you know, she's going to be okay. But this, my father called me. I was at school. He called me and he was like, Mimi's in the hospital. It just felt different. And I think it felt different for my entire family. And if you've been watching this podcast, you probably know my dynamic with my family has not been the best with my father's side of the family. You know, I've been probably, I would consider myself the most, one of the most estranged from that side of the family for whatever fucking reasons. I'll get into that down the line in this podcast, but it just felt different. And I think it felt different for the whole family because when she got out of the hospital the first time, this was around mid-February, she had gotten out of the hospital. We were all just there every single day helping her, bringing her to the bathroom. You know, like she couldn't walk on her own. She had a walker. So we were all there my sister came and my cousin, they cleaned out the house. I was there to see her every day from school, you know, to make sure she was okay. Everybody was all hands on deck. We all took our differences. We said, fuck our differences, put them aside for the one woman that, created us, the matriarch, you know? None of the bullshit, the petty bullshit mattered. And again, I'll get more into that. You know, that there was like a 2 week period where she was home and she needed a lot of help. She had an aide coming in, whatever. And then her 90th birthday happened. February 20th was her 90th. And everybody had a dinner for her. I didn't go, neither did my sister and Alessia, because they had COVID. The whole family had COVID. I wasn't really feeling well and I was a little nervous about COVID, so I stayed home. And then I want to say 2-3 days after her 90th, you know, we get this call from my father: your grandmother's going back into the hospital. She's disoriented. She's out of it. She looked like she was on drugs. I can't explain it. We think she had a stroke. They bring her into the hospital. They don't test her. Like, they don't do a CAT scan to see if she had a stroke, because the EMT who came was like, yeah, it's a UTI. She's 90. This is what UTIs do to 90-year-olds. They didn't even do a CAT scan until 2 days of her being in the hospital. And at that point, she had already had multiple strokes. And by that time, she was talking, but it wasn't making sense. You could tell. I visited her in the hospital. At that point, it was like she knew what she was saying, but her, like, I guess the part of her brain that had the stroke was the linguistic part. So, like, it made sense to her in her head, but when she would speak it, she couldn't articulate. So it was just gibberish. She was just putting words together. Sometimes she would be like, get the hell out of here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would make sense, but most of the time it didn't. And she was still, like, even at that point, still had life in her, and there was still hope for us and maybe, like, rehab and, like, you know, all of these things. The whole time she wanted to go home. She was just like, I don't want to be here. I just want to go home. And, you know, naturally so, you're a 90-year-old woman. Like, she's very stubborn, my grandmother. So, they moved her to a rehab with the hopes that at the very least we could get movement back on her right side. She had a left brain stroke. So the right side was completely done. And when she had been moved to the rehab / nursing home, that was kind of when things took a turn. She just, it was her choice. She didn't want to do it anymore. I mean, there's really nothing else I can say. Is she didn't want to fight anymore. She was tired. And she, like, stopped eating. I think she just kept having more strokes to the point where she just became completely, like almost completely mute. And then the doctor said, like, at this point, we're just making her comfortable because there's nothing we can do if she can't even lift her fucking head up, you know? So it was a very rapid decline. The doctors were shocked by how rapidly she just declined. And then before we knew it, we were being told, like, okay, we're just playing this waiting game. And it's so crazy. I have so much to say, but it's so crazy. I had dreams predicting this shit. Like, I'm not even lying, dude. Like, I had dreams before she went to the hospital. The second time I had a dream, my uncle who passed away, my godfather, came to me in a dream and he showed me a writing pad with my grandmother's handwriting on it. And I was like, I don't know what you're saying. It's not clear. Whatever is on this paper, I can't read it. And he was just showing me something and I couldn't make it out. And then a week later, I found out she's in the hospital. She went to the hospital. I had a series of dreams that literally showed me. She ended up in this room with another person. You know, she had a shared room at the time. We still had a little, like, glimmer of hope for her to, like, be rehabilitated at the very least, to have movement and a little bit of speech. And then literally within a day, they were like, okay, she's going to die. Like, we're going to move her to a solo room. In between that transition period before she was moved to her solo room, which was essentially where she passed away, I had a dream. My same uncle came to me in a dream, brought me to his grave, basically to, like, show, I saw his name written out on his gravestone. Like, it was his way of saying, like, hey, it's me. It's your uncle. Like, don't be afraid. It's me. And then from there, he fucking brought me to a waiting room where I looked around. There were, like, couches and stuff. I was with my cousins, and I saw on a table next to, like, couches or whatever, I saw a bunch of frames, pictures in frames with pictures of all the grandkids, all the great-grandkids, and then one picture of my aunt, one of my aunts. And I was like, why the fuck is Aunt Joanne here? And I remember thinking that in the dream. And then literally the next day she was moved to her solo room. I walk into this room. And at this point we had known, like, this was the room she was going to pass in. Like, this was it at this point. So it was very emotional. I walk into this room. I'm sitting with my cousins and I'm looking around. I see the wallpaper and I'm like, this looks oddly familiar. And I look, and my uncle had brought from my grandmother's house all of the pictures of all of her grandchildren to put them up next to her bed where she was laying. And I looked and I'm like, this is the waiting room. This is where we wait for her to pass away. Like, this is what's happening right now. Fucking crazy. Just insane. Like, cannot be a coincidence, right? There's no, like, it was literally the same exact thing. So, like, things like that were happening. And again, I was very estranged from my family for more than one reason. And at this point, you know, my grandmother was, I'm definitely gonna get emotional at some point during this, so don't mind me, but my grandmother is obviously one of the most important people, you know. I always made it a point to go see her regardless of how much I stayed away from my family. Like, I always made it a point to spend time with her. We got a lot of alone time together, her and I, because I didn't go to family parties. Like, I opted out of all the family parties. So I would go have dinner with her, just me and her. Either we would take each, like, you know, we would take each other out to dinner, or we'd order in. Regardless, I had that relationship with her, which I'm very grateful for. But there's something that, like, happens. I don't want to talk about, like, this isn't about me telling the story. I just want to give the context of, like, the leading up to everything and how quickly it all happened, just to kind of say that there is a lesson in all of this, and I've felt that lesson from pretty much the very beginning, but it took a little bit. But the lesson is that, it might sound cliche, but there's something that happens, a shift within you and the way that you see life, when you watch life slowly leave a person that you love. And there's a shift that happens in your perspective on what truly matters in life. When you watch somebody willingly walk into the last moments of their life, this, everything that happened, and I had a dream about this too, like, my grandmother came to me in a dream and said to me, like, she was driving me in a car and she was like, I'm driving, I'm in control. It was her way of saying, like, this is my choice. This is 150% my choice. I love you. I love the entire family. But I am choosing to do this. And this is going to be, this is going to happen the way that I say it's going to happen. And that's exactly what ended up happening, you know. But there's this shift that happens when you see a person that you've always known to be one way your entire life. 32 years of your life, you see this person one way. You know them to be this way. And then all of a sudden you see them and you don't know who they are anymore. And they don't know. Actually, no, she knew who I was. She actually asked about me like 2 days before she passed away. Like, she shocked my sisters. It was a one day. I took a break from going to the hospital. One day. Literally, I was at the hospital every day. This one day, I was like, I need a fucking break. This is like way too draining. And the entire, at this point, the entire family was like, just like, we were all on edge. We were all upset. It was just so emotionally draining. I'm still recovering from it, by the way. Like, if you can hear my voice, like, I'm still fucking tired. The one day that I don't go, my father and my two sisters were there, and my grandmother was like, "Where's Tori?" And they nearly fell off their chair, because at this point she was incoherent, to at least from our perspective. So for her to actually call me by name was like, I'll always cherish that, you know. So but when you watch somebody that you've known all your life turn into somebody that you don't particularly know anymore, and you know that they're doing that basically willingly just because they're just tired, there's a shift that happens, you know. All of the bullshit, the fighting, the bickering, the things that this person said, the things that you said, the things you should have said, it doesn't fucking matter anymore in life. And that goes not just for family, just anybody that is important, you know what I mean? Like, none of that matters, because you have to be there, at least in this specific situation, we had to be there for my grandmother. It was the most, emotionally draining and taxing but beautiful experience that I've ever experienced in my entire life, you know. And I've had, that was my last living grandparent. So it's not like I've never lost a grandparent before. It's not like I've never lost somebody very important in my life. I have just never experienced watching the decline firsthand. And then literally my entire family, all 9 of her grandchildren and her three children were all in the room when she took her last breath, all of us. And we literally like coached her through the transition. Like, it was something out of a movie, really, you know. Like, it was a Saturday, and it was the one day I was like, okay, this has been a rough week, it's been really emotionally taxing, I'm gonna take a break, probably, you know, this today. And then all of a sudden my cousin texted me and was like, dude, they're not getting a read on her pulse anymore. Her heart rate's 26. Like, take that information and do with it what you will. And I fucking rushed to the hospital, of course. You know, like, my heart needed to be there. Called my sister. I was like, Dina. Dina was going to take a break. I was like, Dina, this is it. Like, we have to be there. My other sister, Gianna, she fucking took off, like, she left work early and came to the hospital. Like, the entire family just showed up. And it's a beautiful thing, because it's what my grandmother always wanted. I would sit with my grandmother at dinner, just the two of us, and, you know, I was probably, not that I was the most difficult one, there are definitely more difficult ones in the family, but I was probably one of the more stubborn ones in the family where I was like, nah, fuck that. I'm not going to put myself around this person, or I'm not going to put myself around that person and feel uncomfortable or feel judged or whatever it was, right? That was my mindset. And my grandmother used to say, like, we're a family, always. We're a family. We have to stick together. We have to be together as a family. She always said that. And I would roll my eyes because I was like, Mimi, come on, man. Like, they're insufferable sometimes. And it's too much. And it's something I don't want to face. I don't want to have the conversations. It's an uncomfortable conversation. You know what I mean? But watching her and watching the family in that moment, like in her last moments, none of the bickering, the fighting, none of that mattered. And it was like then that I was like, damn, this woman's been right this entire time. That like sometimes people say shit and they will continue to say shit that you don't care to hear, you know, and like none of that. None of that matters, you know? Because when you're on your deathbed, literally minutes away from ceasing to exist on this physical plane, you don't think about that stupid comment that somebody made fucking 3 years ago that, yeah, probably hurt your feelings. But like, in the grand scheme of things, do you love this person? Do you care about this person? Well, that's all that should fucking matter, is that you have that person's back. And at the end of the day, when it came time to show up for my grandmother, we all were there. Every single one of us. There was not a one person that was like, nope, I'm too good for this, because nothing else mattered. And we all watched her take her last breath, you know, like, my father on this side, my aunts on this side, my uncle on this side, all of us crying. I was at the edge of her bed. I'll never forget it. I held onto her leg. My cousin next to me, like both of us on our knees in hysterics, literally holding on to her as she's in the process of taking her last breath. Watching it happen. Literally, I fucking dissociated from my body. Like, my legs went completely numb. I don't even think it was fucking anxiety or panic attack or anything. I mean, it could have been, but like, complete dissociation. Doctor comes in, calls time of death, 6:56 p.m. That was the time of death. At 6:56 p.m. and 20 seconds, not even, I walked out of that room and never went back in. There was no need. It was not my grandmother anymore. There was no need for me to be in there. And when you go through something like that with your family, first of all, there's a piece of me that says I don't suggest that. I don't suggest anybody watching a person that they love a lot die in front of their eyes. I really don't. You know, if you have a choice, I'd recommend maybe walking out. But it just felt as though it was something we all needed to be present for. And I think we all felt that. Like, if I sat each and every one of my cousins down, and my dad was somewhere, and I think my sister went and was like, Dad, this is it, this is it, this is it. And he came running in. Like, my dad wanted to be there. Our parents wanted to be there. But I think as the grandchildren, we felt as though we needed to be there. Like, because that was just, it was full circle. You know, we had all been estranged from one another in one way or another, and the last thing that my grandmother would have wanted was every single one of us in that room together, consoling one another and being there for one another. And that's exactly what happened. And this is not to say that my cousins aren't going to fucking piss me off, or that my aunt's not going to fucking piss me off, and that I'm not going to piss them off. But what it is to say is what I learned, and I'm always looking for the lessons in situations, you know, especially life-changing situations. This experience completely changed my life, my perspective on things. Like, one minute my grandmother was a 90-year-old, chipper, had her wits about her, moving about, no issues, woman, to literally one moment changed everything, and she was on the rapid decline, and we were watching her deteriorate and die. You know, not to be fucking morbid, but that's really what it was. We watched every day the life leave her body slowly until it finally, she just passed away, you know. That shit changes you. It changes the way you see things. Like, little things, like, I don't give a fuck about really much of anything. Like, petty bullshit, like, you know, follower counts or just mundane shit that doesn't fucking matter. Like, things that people have done to me in the past that, yeah, okay, maybe it hurt, doesn't matter anymore. Because, like, when you love somebody, when you have love for a person, whether it's a family member, a romantic thing, whatever it is, a friend, those things don't matter, you know? It made me want to call every single person that I ever felt like estranged from, you know what I mean? And, but like, still cared about, and just be like, listen, like, life is, I hate to say life is too short, because life is the longest thing we will ever do, period. But like, even with that, it's not worth holding on to shit, you know? It's really not. And this experience taught me that, you know? And that's not to, like, it's not to say that I'm of course I'm sad, I'm mourning, I'll miss my Mimi every fucking day. But I understand why it happened and what the lesson in it was for all of us. And it was like, it was almost like she made that sacrifice so that we could really finally, like, so it could be drilled into us that, you know, like, if you have something to fucking say, say it. Lead with love. My grandmother always did. My grandmother always led with love. And she, again, watching her on her deathbed, she had not one regret. Like, that woman did not have a regret. In the 90 years that she was alive, she said everything that she had to say, regardless of how uncomfortable it was. She told people exactly how the fuck she felt, regardless of the repercussions. She loved unconditionally. She always expressed that love, and she never ever let her ego get in the way of the people that she loved. And she never let her pride get in the way of the people that she loved. Was she perfect? By no means is anybody fucking perfect in this world. But one thing I could take from her and try to really have her, like, continue on, like, as her legacy, is her unapologetic authenticity to be exactly who the hell she was, no matter who fucking disliked it, no matter who had something to say about it. If she felt something, she said it. If she had something to say, you were getting a call from her, and she would tell you exactly what she felt. It wasn't like, I don't want to make waves. And it's not like she did make waves. It's just, she was exactly who the fuck you saw her to be. There was no, no qualms about that. That was my Mimi. And so because of that, because she lived her life truly, she didn't, you know, there's that book that I always talk about, The Five Regrets of the Dying. Like, I didn't see any of that. She wasn't like, I should have done this, I should have done that. She made a decision, whether it was right or wrong, she stuck with it and, you know, was confident in her decisions. Even her decision to literally die was hers and hers alone. And she was okay with that, you know. My grandmother had not one regret. And then it made me think about, like, my life and, like, would I have regrets? And at that point, yeah, the answer was yes. With my grandmother, I have regrets. With other people and things in my life, I have regrets. And it made me realize, like, I don't want to live that way anymore. I don't want to live regretting things. You know, I don't want to live in fear of certain things. What if this? What if that? Well, fuck it. What if? Because if the tables were turned and I was in my grandmother's position in that at that moment in my last, like, of my last moments, would any of the bullshit matter? You know? And the answer is no. None of that shit fucking matters. Oh, this person said this about you? All right. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? Like, who cares about that? Who cares about the outside validation? Who cares about likes on social media or your following count? Or it just puts things into perspective. And it will never not be in perspective for me. There's no point in holding on to anger with people that you love. There's no point in holding on to anger with people you are indifferent about too, right? Especially those people. Because if it's a person that means nothing to you in your life, then holding on to that anger only hurts you. Holding on to anger is like holding on to a bullet wound, right? Like, and continuing to poke the bullet wound because you think that it belongs there. And so it never fucking goes away. That's what holding on to anger and resentment does. It poisons you. It hurts you. And there's no point in that, especially for people who don't fucking matter. But when it comes to people who do matter, who you love and care about and will always love and always care about, what's the fucking point? Right? Like, if you love that person and you care about them, then if they apologize for the things that they've done and they're truly meaningful in that apology or whatever, or even if somebody comes to you wanting to make amends in a situation and they really mean that, does the past really fucking matter? What's the point of holding on to things? If you truly care about a person, you should push forward and make the amends. You know what I mean? And if you're the person, the perpetrator, who hurt somebody else, then you should apologize. You should attempt to make the amends, because life is too fucking short. I'm gonna say it. It really is, man. Like, and in the blink of an eye, things can change. You think things are one way, and then all of a sudden they just change. And everything's just turned completely upside down. Material things don't fucking matter. And at the end of the day, hold on! And at the end of the day, like, none of that matters. You know? I didn't think about anything else other than, I mean, yeah, I was on a war path too at points. We were all on edge at certain points. Like, I was angry. I'd gotten to a point where I was fucking angry, Like, why are we here right now? You know? And so I was projecting that anger, onto situations that, again, meant really nothing in the grand scheme of things. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, nothing my grandmother had ever mattered. Her material possessions or what she did for a living. When we all sat around at the wake, the funeral, like, nobody talked about, oh, yeah, she had this much in her bank account. Or, oh, yeah, you know, she had this many friends. None of that fucking mattered. What mattered was the memories we shared with her and the way she made us feel and the love that the family felt. And there was a lot of memories that came up as, like, you know, the childhood memories. And I just felt lucky in that moment. Sad because it's the end of an era. Sad because I have no more grandparents living on this planet. But lucky that I was able to experience that. Lucky that I had the childhood that I had, you know, that I got 32 amazing years with my grandmother. You know? And so the lesson, in all of it is, let bygones be bygones, whether it's friends, family, somebody that you truly love. If you truly love somebody, right? If you have love for somebody out there and you're, you know, not knowing how to navigate a situation, like, let bygones be bygones, because you don't want to regret. And holding on to grudges and holding on to pain and holding on to stupid things that don't fucking matter, it fucks you up in the end. You know, I wish I had better words. I wish I could articulate this in a better way. You know, but it's the truth. Like, holding on to shit it only does you a disservice, you know? And then you end up, at the end of the day, thinking about all the things you could have said, all the things you should have said, you should have done, the things you should have let go of. Had I let go of this, then, you know, I could have been at this event. I could have done that. I could have had myself a better time. I could have had more moments, you know. When it comes to my family, I did what I had to do at the time, or what I felt was necessary, right? Like, staying away and really, honestly, running away from difficult conversations, running away from vulnerability. You know, when my aunt and I had gotten into whatever fight we had gotten into, she wanted to talk to me. She wanted to sit down and face it. I didn't want to because I was afraid of that vulnerability. I was afraid of the confrontation of it. I was afraid of what was going to come out. You know, I didn't want to express my feelings. I was afraid of that. So instead, I ran and didn't do anything and just ignored it and swept it under the rug as if, like, that would make it go away. And the only thing it did was keep me away from my family even more. And this was that turning point, you know. And again, my family is far, far from fucking perfect. Like, I leave, I'm pretty, there's moments where I leave interactions and I'm like, oh my God. Because sometimes people just say things and it's like, you know, but you learn that your peace and peace of mind is so much more important than needing to be right, you know? Needing, like, peace is from your heart. Peace is from your soul. Needing to be right, that's ego. Like, and that's really what this experience has taught me overall in every aspect of life, is that, like, I went through life always feeling like, you know, like, I need to be right. You know? I need to have that vindication in every situation where I'm done wrong. Like, I need to be vindicated and proven, like, yeah, I was right. And many situations, yeah, I was proven fucking right. But that doesn't matter. None of that matters. Peace of mind matters. Having peace with the people that you truly love and care about matters. And sometimes that means biting your fucking tongue. And sometimes that means swallowing your goddamn fucking pride for the sake of maintaining relationships, keeping family members. Again, if it's toxic and it's painful and it's abusive, get the fuck out of it, you know? But if it's just something that's really fucking annoying, that is bearable, you could swallow your pride for a little bit for the sake of keeping family together. And that's what my grandmother would have wanted. That's what she always wanted. And fortunately or unfortunately, that's what she got. That was her dying wish, pretty much. And she got it on her deathbed because we were all there. That's it. You know? Let this all be a lesson to you. Do not hold on to resentment. Do not hold on to pride. Don't stay there. That's where you end up regretting, you know. I should have said the things that I wanted to say. I should have done the thing that I wanted to do. If that's you, do it. Don't hang on to anger. There's no fucking point. Trust me. At the end of the day, when you're watching somebody take their last breath, literally watching them take their last breath, that is something that really genuinely puts things into perspective. So that's it. That is my experience. You guys will definitely continue to see me. I'm not stopping anything. I'm still doing tarot readings. I'm still going to be doing all of that. My mental health is okay, thankfully, because I have the coping mechanisms that I need and the support system around me. That is 100%. My fucking superpower, my tools, meditation. If I was not meditating right now and I was not sober, I would literally be in a downward spiral. And again, I'm mourning, I'm sad, I'm going through it in the grieving process, but I'm at peace with her passing. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So, maybe I'll go more into that on a later date as to why I have peace with it. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still also trying to figure out if am I truly at peace or am I just numbing? But I don't have anything to numb with, really. I'm not numbing with alcohol because I'm sober. I'm not numbing with a woman because I'm single and I don't have people around me. I'm just using my coping mechanisms. So I'd like to believe that I'm just simply at peace with the situation and sad, tired, but ready to recuperate from it all. So I love you guys very much, and I appreciate everybody who has reached out. You guys are amazing. I'll see you next week. Peace out, everybody.